This week on Vaticano, Athens welcomes Pope Francis. Discover with us why the Holy Father is traveling to Greece and learn about Catholics living there. Meet leading Mariologist, Father Salvatore Perella, and learn about the dogma of the Immaculate Conception. It's Advent at the Vatican. Dive into the Christmas spirit and enjoy the most significant Advent places in Rome. For this and more, Vaticano starts now.
Cari fratelli e sorelle di Cipro e di Grecia, Kalimera sas.
Pope Francis began his five-day journey to Cyprus and Greece by sending encouragement and affection in a video message.
Vengo con gioia, proprio nel nome del Vangelo.
The Holy Father said he comes as a pilgrim, with joy in the name of the Gospel. EWTN Vatican correspondent Colm Flynn brings us to Athens a few days ahead of the papal visit.
I'm standing here in Athens, the Greek capital, with a population of just over 3 million people. And this country, Greece, is expecting the visit of Pope Francis. Now, the Pope is coming to meet with government officials, religious leaders, refugees, and the small minority Catholic community who live here today.
According to the Archdiocese of Athens, there are 50,000 ethnically Greek Catholics. But during the recent migration crisis, the number of foreign Catholics in the country has exceeded the ethnic Greek Catholics.
It's like our second home, especially the church.
There are many people like Aurelia that came to Athens for work and have found their home here. The recent migration wave brought faithful from the Middle East, Eastern Europe, Asia and Africa. The total population of Catholics in Greece now is roughly 350,000. Parishes are divided by language groups, but all these diverse communities in the church are guided by the newly appointed Archbishop, Theodoros Kontidis.
The Pope is a presence that unites all the Catholic Church. And sometimes we feel isolated, but now it's something important for us to think and to see our faith and our church in a different, in a new way.
When Pope Francis last came here in 2016 to the island of Lesbos, it was really at the height of this refugee crisis in Europe. What is the situation like now today?
So we don't have the big numbers of immigrants arriving in the border. So it is, we can say, calm. But still, immigration is a problem, especially in big towns in the center, where immigrants are important numbers. So the life in the center of the cities is changing, and other people are leaving these areas.
This neighborhood, close to Victoria Square, has a large number of migrants, and nearby is the church known for its humanitarian work.
And this one? Green. And a window. And the roof?
20, 80, 90, 100.
Sister Iwa Plecha is one of the JRS volunteers that comes to Victoria Square every day.
Come and join us.
The locals also call this square Afghani Square because the majority of migrants that gather here come from Afghanistan.
For me, coming here is giving them stability. I'm here for you. Doesn't matter what your situation is, and they know that. Nowadays, it's not so much time for evangelization. It's more about showing I love you, I care, I see you. You see, that's for me is evangelization and telling them, yes, God love you.
Thank you.
show me? Wow, look at that. Beautiful. Yeah? You can do another one. Yeah? It's beautiful. Yeah, that's, you see, for them, means a lot, you see, just to draw, just to be here. I can't change the system, but I can make smile on their faces. I can make it a little bit easy, because what the children needs to play. And what is that?
Lion.
Lion. That's the normal psychological needs of every child, to play, not to worry. Look at, here at Victoria Square, they have nothing. No, there is no like a place for them, no tools, no football, no roping. So we bring the small things for them to play.
Sister Iwa uses these moments to meet the parents, to talk with them and tell them about the places where they can receive help. For example, across the city there are consultation groups for women, language classes, soup kitchens, and this thrift shop just 5 minutes away from Victoria Square.
Pampers.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And here it's for babies and.
Volunteers Miriam and Susan are on duty today.
I give English classes, English for kids and for teenagers, and I really like it. We have also this thrift shop where we give some clothes and we are playing with children in Victoria Square. So it's really nice and I feel really useful here, surrounded by a great community with a lot of nice people.
You really see how unfair everything is. It's really frustrating, but you also see how with small gestures you can help people or brighten at least their day a little bit.
We have many Catholic organizations like Caritas, GRS, and others. It is a very extensive work with immigrants, but also in places where we had problems, like the fires we had in last summer. And when there is a crisis, the Catholic Church is present. Our work in that field is extensive and intense. And okay, it's a beautiful thing for us. Even if we are a small community, our social work is very important.
Since the beginning of the refugee crisis in Greece in August of 2015 until today, Caritas Athens has served more than 1 million people by providing daily food, clothing, and the basic necessities.
What is your name?
Befi.
Where are you from?
Congo.
Congo?
Yes.
This family came today for clothes and food. Sandra says that Caritas has been very helpful to them since they first arrived in Athens.
What is
this? Have a good day.
Georgia Fonzu has been a volunteer of Caritas for 10 years.
Smile always, and whoever gives to a poor, to a sick person, gives to me, said Jesus.
Another concrete way that Caritas Athens provides help to migrants and to the needy is offering them shelters. There are around 150 apartments managed by Caritas Athens. The Al-Hawaii family fled the war in Syria with 5 kids and found a refuge here in this Caritas apartment while awaiting for political asylum from the Greek government. The Catholic Church in Greece is a small community with a big charitable mission that contributes to Greek society as a whole and puts the love of Christ into action.
So I think the Mass we will have in Athens, and this is a moment of gathering and unity for all Catholic communities, ethnic communities. And at the same time, it is an image for the Orthodox, a message to the Orthodox Church and to the Orthodox Greek society. I hope it will be a window for the Greek society, a window to see outside our house and to recognize the world we have around us.
When we return, meet Father Salvatore Perella and discover how the belief in the Immaculate Conception went from Christian tradition to a dogma of the Catholic Church. Pope Francis welcomed a representative of the Bahraini king, Sheikh Khalid bin Ahmed Al Khalifa. The Holy Father presented the Sheikh with a sculpture symbolizing peace with the inscription, "The desert will become a garden." The meeting took place ahead of the consecration of a new cathedral in Bahrain dedicated to Our Lady of Arabia. Cardinal Luis Antonio Tagle, the prefect of the Vatican's Congregation for the Evangelization of Peoples, will consecrate the cathedral on December the 10th. According to Catholic news agency, the Sheikh, on behalf of the King of Bahrain, extended an invitation to Pope Francis to visit the country. Marking the 50th anniversary of the death of their founder, Blessed Giacomo Alberione, the Pauline family met with the Holy Father in private audience.
Per questo vi incoraggio a lavorare insieme in rete.
During the meeting, Pope Francis called on the institutes to follow the example set by their founder and with the entire church to reflect on how to aid in the new evangelization, focusing on spreading the message of Christ through all modern means of communication. The Pauline family consists of 5 religious congregations, 1 lay association, and 4 secular institutes, which were founded between 1914 and 1959.
Si possa far conoscere Gesù Cristo agli uomini del nostro tempo con i mezzi del nostro tempo.
The Swiss Episcopate came to Rome for their Ad Limina Apostolorum visit from November the 22nd to the 26th. According to the communique of the Swiss Bishops' Conference, the main discussion with the Holy Father was on synodality and the place of women in the church. Pope Francis welcomed French President Emmanuel Macron to the Vatican. The two spoke on the COP26 climate summit and the upcoming French presidency of the EU. President Macron's audience with the Holy Father came directly after signing a treaty with Italian Prime Minister Mario Draghi to strengthen their mutual cooperation in the area of defense. During his papal audience, the French president gifted Pope Francis with an historic first edition of the biography of Saint Ignatius of Loyola and a modern biography of the Jesuit saint.
La speranza, ho detto in altre occasioni.
Hope, as I've said on other occasions, is like dropping anchor on the other shore. It is this boldness that inspires new actions, guides skills, stimulates commitment, and gives life to life.
The Holy Father sent a video message to those participating in the 11th Festival of the Social Doctrine of the Church, stressing the connection between courage, hope, and creativity. Pope Francis called the participants to follow Christ's call to use our God-given talents with courage, especially in difficult moments. Pope Francis greeted Albanian Prime Minister Edi Rama at the Vatican, where the two discussed migration and peace, the situation of the Western Balkans, Albania's process to fully entering the European Union, and the Church's contribution to Albanian society. During the meeting, the Holy Father presented the Prime Minister with a bronze bas-relief of Noah, along with some of his papal documents. His Excellency, Mr. Eddie Rama, gifted Pope Francis with an icon of Our Lady of Advent, two paintings, and a letter from Albanian poet and philosopher, Father Gjergj Fishta. Towering near the famed and historic Spanish steps in Rome is the Column of the Immaculate Conception. It was inaugurated in 1857, 3 years after Pope Pius IX declared the dogma of the Immaculate Conception. One of the leading Mariologists in the Catholic Church, Father Salvatore Perella, explains the meaning and importance of the dogma of the Immaculate Conception.
La Chiesa Cattolica, come tutte le chiese, celebrano.
The Catholic Church, like all churches, celebrate important, if not fundamental, events. We do not celebrate the Feast of the Immaculate. We celebrate in Mary, God's action in her, that He preserved her from all stain of original sin. This dogma is the feast of the grace of God in a creature.
Dogma è la festa della grazia di Dio in una creatura.
For almost 2,000 years, the Church didn't have the dogma of the Immaculate Conception. But Father Perella says that this dogma has origins in the Christian tradition because it derives from centuries of devotion to Mary by the people of God.
Dogma è una parola difficile.
Dogma is a difficult word, but where does this dogma come from? We must not forget the part of the Christian people, which we call, in a technical term, the function of the sensus fidelium. What this sensus fidelium is a prerogative, a virtue, a gift from God, through which the Christian people that have faith sense a truth.
Intuisce una verità.
Considering sensus fidelium, on December the 8th, 1854, Pope Pius IX proclaimed the dogma of the Immaculate Conception. And every year on December the 8th, the Holy Father visits this column with a statue on top to place flowers honoring the Immaculate Conception of the Virgin Mary. Unfortunately, this year, due to pandemic restrictions, Pope Francis will once again perform a private act of devotion without the presence of the faithful.
Maria va amata.
Mary must be loved as every person must be loved and respected. And the Pope bringing flowers to Our Lady is also meant to show this message and is said to be anthropological. Mary is a woman and a woman of faith because she is a woman of faith and shows respect for everyone, especially for women. This is a message that the Pope often clarifies.
According to the dogma, God chose Mary from all humans to become the Mother of God. And this is why she was immaculate from the moment of her conception.
Perché se conoscessero in verità.
If they knew the truth, the beauty of Mary, Mary's effects, we would all live a Christian life, which is a human life, in the sign of beauty. Because beauty, said a well-known author, will save the world.
Salverà il mondo.
After the break, join us in Rome for a tour of some of the important places in Rome for the Advent season as we prepare for Christ's coming at Christmas. Advent is upon us, and it's a special time of year at the Vatican and in the Eternal City. How does one make the most of a visit to Rome during the Christmas season? EWTN Vatican's Rachel Lance joins us to offer a tour.
Benvenuti, and welcome to Advent in Rome. I'm going to take you on a very quick Vatican walking tour right here in the center. And first, we're going to start out in front of this papal basilica, St. Mary Major. There's something special I want to show you inside, so let's take a look.
St. Mary Major is one of four papal basilicas that include St. Peter's Basilica. Beneath the main altar is the most significant of all Christmas relics, the manger, in which the infant Jesus was born in Bethlehem. When St. Helena, the mother of Emperor Constantine, traveled to the Holy Land in the 4th century, she visited the cave where Jesus was born and discovered two cribs inside. So while we have this one in Rome, the other remains in Bethlehem, thus tying the two places together. Kneeling before the crib is a statue of Pope Pius IX. He had a strong devotion to the Virgin Mary and was the one who commissioned the crypt chapel. His coat of arms is visible above the main altar.
So we're on the way from St. Mary Major to St. Peter's Basilica, and I'm right here on a very popular street here in Rome, next to a gelateria and a bistro, and right around the corner is a church, so it's a very typical Roman street here. And each church during the Advent time has a nativity scene, also called a presepe in Italian. And each one is typically traditional, but some have very unique features. And we'll take a look as we continue.
In and around the Vatican, we discover presepi in unexpected places, such as this one, set up inside the entrance of a Vatican-owned apartment building. Or this one, known as the Street Cleaner's Nativity Scene, owned and operated by Rome's Trash Collection Service.
Si, si, si.
The Christmas tree and large nativity scene in St. Peter's Square is traditionally inaugurated after the feast of the Immaculate Conception on December 8th. But just alongside and inside the colonnade is the annual show Cento Presepi. Pope Francis makes a point to visit this exhibition every year and is expected to return once more. Leading up to Christmas, the Holy Father continues to make appearances at the Sunday Angelus and General Audience, both of which are free and open to the public. And he also celebrates Mass in Spanish on the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. So throughout the month, it is more than possible to get a glimpse of Pope Francis while enjoying the atmosphere of Christmas.
We just wrapped up our tour, and next week we're going to bring you more images of the Vatican getting ready for Christmas. But before I let you go, I want to show you some Italian Christmas dessert panettone. Every Italian household has and enjoys every Advent and Christmas. So happy Advent, and we'll see you next week.